And I do want to speak a message this morning, and so if you've brought a Bible with you, I'll be in Matthew chapter 28, and then to conclude this morning, I'll be in John chapter 21. And usually Easter messages, I've done many, many, many of them in the ministry, and they're all, you know, basically around the, obviously the same theme. Resurrection, and that Jesus is alive. And that is so important, as I've mentioned already, to the Christian church and for the world to know that Jesus is alive. But this morning, I want to take a little different slant on it. And so in chapter 28 of Matthew, and the verses will be on the screen as well, I want to read the first verse, and then I'm going to skip to the fifth verse. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn," that was Sunday, "Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." And that's, they came early in the morning, and that's why we have a sunrise service. So I always say, thank you, ladies, for getting up so early, and so that I have to get up early on sunrise morning. And so I went to bed early. Knowing I, and 4:30 is not early for some of you, it's early for me. And I woke up at 12:30, thought it was time to get up. And I looked at my clock and I realized it was 12:30. And then you know what happens, right? You toss and turn and toss and turn. And I thought about everything in the world. And so I didn't get a lot of sleep. So if I don't make sense this morning, attribute it to the women who came to the tomb early in the morning. No, we're glad they did. Actually, they had more faith than the guys. So if you skip to verse 5, it says, "But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly,'" and this is all the angelic message to these ladies, "'go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying," and it, I find it interesting, the very first thing that he says to these ladies is the word rejoice. Rejoice. You've lost your Savior 3 days ago. He died on the cross. Today he's not in the tomb. And the message I have for you is to rejoice. And that's why on Resurrection Sunday, we try to do just that, don't we? We try to rejoice. And I hope you'll rejoice, not just here at church, but at your family meal or your activities or whatever you will be doing today, that you will spend some time rejoicing that the Lord is alive. So they came and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. And notice, Jesus did not stop them from doing either. They held his feet, and then they worshiped him, and he allowed them to do that at this moment. There would be another moment where he will hold them back, but now he allows them to do that. And I got to tell you, Jesus loves for us to worship him. Amen? He loves for us to worship him. In whatever way we choose to worship, God wants us to worship Jesus. Verse 10, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" And then we skip to verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him," just as the women had done. They worshiped him. And again, Jesus didn't stop them at all. He wanted them to worship him because he wants all of us to worship him. And then it says, "But some doubted." There were still some of the 11 who wasn't quite sure, which is interesting. And then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. I am with you always. And how many know that promise is still true today, right? I am with you always. No matter what you're doing, whether you're at work or you're at school or you're driving your car, or you're walking the dog or whatever it is you're doing, Jesus is with you. And you can worship him and you can talk to him and have a conversation with him. He is readily available. So this morning I want to talk on the subject of I was there. I was there. You know, eyewitness accounts are pretty powerful. They can turn the tide of a verdict from guilty to not guilty or from not guilty to guilty with eyewitnesses. We assume that eyewitnesses tell the truth, and if they don't, they're perjuring themselves, but we assume they do unless they can be found out they're lying. And this passage gives us an account of some eyewitnesses. But these aren't the only ones that were eyewitnesses to Jesus after he had died on the cross. In 1 Corinthians 15, we won't turn there, but you can read there, and it talks about all the different people that saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. And at one point, he appeared to 500 people at one time that saw him after he rose from the dead, that knew he had been crucified, but now they saw him alive. The evidence is overwhelming that Jesus is alive today. It really is. And it's because of the eyewitnesses, the eyewitness account. Well, under the phrase, I was there at the airport one time with Cheryl. This is years ago. This will date us, but some of you will remember. Clyde Drexler. How many remember Clyde the Glide, right? We were in the airport, Cheryl and I, we were getting ready to go somewhere, and she looked over and said, "That's Clyde Drexler." And I said, "Well, yeah, it kind of looks like him." And before I could get that out of my mouth, she's headed over that way. And she's not after an autograph. She doesn't care about the autograph. She saw Clyde Drexler, and my wife's a sports fan. And so she walked over, and she says, "Hello, Clyde." And he said, "Well, hello there. My name's Cheryl." And she said, "I just want to thank you for how much of a gentleman you are and how good you are on the court, but how much you support your community." And she's just applauding him and lauding him for everything that he really did for Portland back in the day before Portland were bad guys. But anyway, She met him, and he was such a gentleman, and he shook her hand, he smiled, and then I kind of made my way up, said, "Hi, I'm married to her." Anyway, she met Clyde Drexler, and it was really a highlight for her. And so Cheryl could say, "I was there. I was an eyewitness to Clyde Drexler." Now, this will date me, and this will date you if you remember this. We were in another airport at another time, and lo and behold, Cheryl said, "Look at that. She's always spotting these men. What's this? What's this deal?" And she says, "What?" And I looked and I said, "That's Bozo the Clown." How many remember Bozo the Clown, right? She said, "That's it." And she went over and started talking to Bozo the Clown. And I just, again, kind of came up and said hi. And she was there. She was an eyewitness. And he talked with her a little bit about, you know, how he got into that role and that kind of thing. And then our whole family was at the airport another time. This all happens at the airport, right? And I remember, I think it was Eddie or Sharina or someone said, "There he is. There he is." And I said, "Who?" And if your mom doesn't see him, it's not true. So, but no, they said, "No, there he is." And what's his, what? It was Sinbad, the actor. And he's in this line, and they had just searched me, you know. That was back in the day when they do the pat downs and everything. That happened the same time that I was going through TSA, and I walked through the beeper, and a lady guard stood there, and she looked at me, and she slapped on her gloves and said, "Bend over." And then she said, "No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing." I was like, glad. Anyway, it was that same time, and so we're out, and so the kids went over, and they introduced themselves to Sinbad, the actor, and asked how he was doing and all of that, and he was on our flight. I was there. I was an eyewitness to that. And then I have a friend who is a pastor, and he tells of the day as a little boy, that he was at an airport, only this was before TSA, and they were out awaiting the arrival of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And he still remembers when the airplane landed. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that, buddy. Thank you very much. He landed, and he and his parents were able to get right on the fence, and he tells the story, I believe I've got it right, where John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the President of the United States, walked over and was shaking hands and stopped where he was, and I think he told me he picked him up and held him. And that was the highlight of his life, that he was held by John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And not long after, of course, President Kennedy was assassinated. But he was there. He was an eyewitness. He was an eyewitness. And you probably have some of those same stories that you could tell of people that you've met, that maybe someone might doubt you, but you know that you know that you know that it happened. Amen? So what we have in this passage is we have eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus was alive. We have the women, Mary Magdalene, which has an incredible story of deliverance. She was filled with demonic powers, and Jesus freed her by his spoken word, and she became a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And she was first at the tomb with another follower named Mary as well. And they were eyewitnesses. They had seen Jesus hanging on the cross. They had seen him die. They heard the words, "It is finished." And now 3 days later, they see an empty tomb. And they run to tell the disciples what the angel said. And then, bang, "I was there." Those ladies could say, "I was there. I saw Jesus." I don't know about you. It'd be great to see Clyde. It'd be great to see Bozo. I think he passed away now. It'd be great to see Sinbad again. But you know who it would be great to see is to run into Jesus at the airport. Amen? But maybe we do run into Jesus at the airport more times than we know. Come on, right? Because Jesus talked about his followers doing the same work that he does. How many believe we ought to try to be like Jesus in this life, right? And we can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so these women were eyewitnesses. They could say, "We were there. We saw him." Now, do we believe these women? They had no reason to lie. Do we believe these women? But then there was also the 11 disciples. The 11 disciples were there. And it says that Jesus came to them in Galilee. Now, before this, of course, after the women had visited the tomb, Peter and John had gone into the tomb. And remember John, I'm going to refer to him in a moment. And John got there first, but he wouldn't go in. And then Peter got there second. And Peter went in and looked, and there were the grave cloths that he was wrapped in, laying neatly folded right there. But Jesus wasn't there. And then John peered in. Here are two of the 11 that said, "We were there." And then all of them were together and Jesus appeared to them. He walked through a closed door and appeared to them. And then Thomas came later and invited Thomas to touch his nail-scarred hands. They were witnesses of the fact that Jesus had died on the cross. John saw it. John was there with the mother of Jesus when Jesus gave his last breath. He saw him dead, and now he sees him alive. They are eyewitnesses, and they're saying to us today, Jesus is alive. Praise the Lord. Do we believe them? But they're eyewitnesses. And yet, verse 17 that we read said, but some doubted. How can that be? How can any of you 11 doubt that Jesus is alive when he's standing right there in front of you? Right there in front of you. You know, doubt is one of those strange little creatures. We all have it from time to time. I'll be the first to confess that there are times when I doubt. Not that God is real, but sometimes you wonder, is God really there? And I've talked about this before. And then you go back to what we know the Scripture teaches us about that proves the existence of God. Creation, nature proves the existence to God. What God does in people's lives proves that there is a God. And when a tiny baby, and we've got a few tiny babies here today, and you hold that baby in your arm and you see that little baby, just this perfect little baby, how can you doubt that there's a God in heaven? How can you doubt that God is not the creator? And you could say, oh, that baby's just an accident. That baby's just a product of evolution. No, no, no. You hug that baby and you don't tell me there's a God in heaven. Come on, amen? And other evidences. How could these disciples, how could they doubt? But doubt does come. So how do we deal with doubt? We remind doubt that we live by faith. That's what the Bible says. We live by faith. I have faith to believe that God is real and that God loves us and that he is alive today. And I think it was a bumper sticker years ago, and it said, I know that Jesus is real because I spoke to him this morning. I think. So the disciples were there. They were eyewitnesses. Now, there were also the guards who were there. I didn't read the guard story. You can do that later. It's verse 2 through 4 and then 11 through 15. There was there were guards there at the tomb, and they were told not to let anybody steal the body, because that's what they thought. The scribes and Pharisees felt like the disciples would come and steal the body and then say, oh, he's alive. So these guards are there. And by the text, it appears that when that stone rolled away, there was a great earthquake, and that stone rolled. We believe that the angel of the Lord actually rolled it, and that the angel of the Lord actually appeared. And it's possible, it's totally possible, I don't know this for sure, but it's possible that those guards that were on duty and saw that stone roll away may have seen Jesus walk out of that tomb. And if that's the case, they were eyewitnesses too. But you know what happened? They paid them to lie. They called them in and they said, look, tell everybody that his disciples came and stole the body. We'll pay you a certain amount of money. And if you get in trouble by your captain or your commander, we'll stand up for you. Because, you know, in those days you could be killed if you left your post or allowed something to happen. So those guards, in my opinion, they were eyewitnesses that Jesus, and it is possible, and I'm not going to stick my theological flag on this, but it's possible the guards themselves may have been the first human beings to see Jesus alive. It's possible, but they lied. And that lie, the Bible says, persists to this day. And even that meant that day, but it is still today. You can still read in some articles that the disciples of Jesus stole his body. He didn't really die, and they took him away. But don't believe that lie. Come on. Amen? And if they were eyewitnesses, what do we do with that? Well, we know that some witnesses were paid to lie. But my contention is, what good would it do for for the disciples and these women to lie, especially when Jesus would appear to many, many people and 500 people at one time. How many know that if 500 people saw you somewhere and they testified in court, 500 eyewitnesses said they didn't do it, they didn't do it, they didn't do it. How many know you'd be acquitted? Come on. 500. And so Jesus is alive. And then fourthly, the other eyewitness to this is the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord was there. He was sent by God to roll that stone. And whether the angel did it or the earthquake rolled it, either way, the angel of the Lord was there. And he sat on that stone. And one of the pastors this morning, in reading a passage of Scripture in the sunrise service, he read this passage for everyone, and then he commented, he said, "Can you imagine how that looked when an angel sat on that big stone that rolled away? The angel was sitting on that stone." And then the pastor this morning, Pastor Michael, shared, he said, "Any of you ever have younger brothers or sisters?" And then he said, "You know where I'm going with this. How many has ever sat on them?" And boy, I raised my hand. I know what it is to sit on younger siblings. I did my share of sitting. And then as we grew up and they got bigger, Ronnie and Daddy, Danny exceeded me in height and weight. They sit on me now. The angel of the Lord was there. The angel of the Lord was a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, I told you the story of when Cheryl and I came to Battleground. Some of you had not heard that. And I didn't share this part of the story. When we came to Battleground, sight unseen, you remember, you know, saw the bumper sticker, "Where's Battleground?" And anyway, so we go home to Coos Bay, and we were appointed to the church, and so we load up a U-Haul. And some of you have heard this story. My boss at the time, I worked for the Emporium, who now doesn't exist, but he loaned me his pickup, and we got a U-Haul. And we had volunteers load the U-Haul, and I appreciate volunteers. I do. But I would rather have volunteers that know how to load a U-Haul. And so these volunteers loaded all the heavy stuff in the back of the U-Haul and all the light stuff in the front. So when Cheryl and I took off, and Eddie was a baby, three, two, whatever he was little. And we headed down the road, and this trailer is going like this because it's up in the air like this. And I said to Cheryl, I said, "Dolly," I said, "we're not going to make it all the way to Battleground. That's 5 hours. And this trailer's loaded along. I'm going to have to just pull over and unload this and reload this whole thing by myself." And so we're going down the road about 30, 35 miles an hour, and it's just going crazy. And I love what she did. She says, "No, you're not going to stop, and you're not going to unload." And she's prayed, and I kid you not, Cheryl prayed this way: "Dear Jesus, in your name, put a fat angel and let him sit on that trailer in Jesus' name right now." And I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating. When she said that prayer and she said amen, that trailer went boom, just like that. I took off down. I came all the way to the Battleground without one problem at all. Not one problem at all. And when we got here over Battleground West and I backed that trailer in, that trailer went boom, just like that. And I said, "The fat angel left." Now, call it coincidence, call it what you want to, but I was there. I was an eyewitness. And I thank God all the time for that oversized angel. Come on. I was there. I was there, an eyewitness. So, what do we do with all these eyewitness accounts? What do we do with that? Do we believe or do we doubt? We all have to make a choice. when we see the evidence and the eyewitnesses, and there's lots more, I could go a lot longer, but I want to wrap this up. I know you have Easter Day plans, and want to honor that, but we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with the evidence? We're going to believe it, or we're going to doubt it? And what does it matter? Well, first of all, if we doubt the evidence, if we doubt the women, if we doubt the guards, if we doubt the disciples, if we doubt the angel, if we doubt the Bible completely, you know, that's a choice you can make. But I want to tell you this. You may doubt now, but if you're really serious about finding the truth, there is substantially more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. As a matter of fact, by one calculation, there is more evidence, and I read this in an article one time, there is more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than there is that Abraham Lincoln existed. More evidence. So, what do we do with that? If we doubt, well, there's still more evidence, and as some of you remember Josh McDowell, he was a doubter, but when he sought the evidence, he wrote the book that evidence that demands a verdict. Thank you. That demands a verdict. He came to the conclusion, yes, Jesus did rise from the dead. And my prayer is that you won't be doubting long, but you will receive and believe that Jesus Christ is really alive. So, if we believe that Jesus is alive, what do we do with that? Is that just a good fact to have? Or is there something we need to do? Well, I believe there's something we need to do. If we believe that Jesus is alive, that he rose from the dead, that all the evidence supports that, and Jesus is alive, then what do we do with Jesus? Do we just say, you know, he was a nice man, a good man, did a lot of good things? Or do we say, if he really did come back to life and he's alive now, what I need to do is to follow him as my Savior and, as Eddie said, my good shepherd. Amen? I need to follow him. And we can do that by making a choice to believe and to follow him. I want to read one final scripture and then we'll conclude the message and the service today. And again, it's just been great having everyone here. It's wonderful to see you, and it's a beautiful day out there, and it's warming up a little, and I'm grateful for that, and you'll have a great day. But in the last two verses of the last book of the Gospels, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the last chapter and the last two verses. Remember I said, remember John, the one who got to the tomb first. Peter ran in ahead of him, but he was an eyewitness. He wrote a book. He wrote the book of John. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the book of Revelation. But after the Gospel of John, he wrote these words. And remember, this is an eyewitness. Verse 24 of John 21. This is the disciple, and he doesn't name himself, but we know he was referring to himself. This is the disciple who testifies of these things, as if he was in court. He testifies of these things and wrote these things. He wrote them down in the manuscript that we now have as the book of John. And we know that his testimony is true. John says, everything I'm telling you in this book of John is true. That's why it's good to, when you start reading the Bible, start in the book of John. We've talked about this. Because everything in the book of John is true. That's what John says. I was an eyewitness. I was there. But then he says this in verse 25. And there are also many other things that Jesus did that are not written down anywhere. We don't have any record of them. We have lots of records of what he did, but there's still many things he didn't do, which If they were written one by one, listen to this now, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Is that phenomenal? Think of that. The world couldn't contain the books of everything that Jesus did and has done and is doing right now. And then he ends with the amen. And I think of that verse and I think, how many books is that? I'm a lover of books. I have a huge library upstairs. It's overflowed into the breezeway. I've got books that haven't even been unboxed yet. I love to hold a book. I know, you know, your iPad and E-pad and Z-pad and G-pad and all those kind of things. But I love holding a book. Something about it. Something about smelling a book. Come on, right? And I got tons of them up there. I'll never be able to read everything I've got. But you know what's more impressive to me is the book you're writing. Because every one of us here today are writing a book. It's called the book of our life. Every chapter, every line, every jot, every tittle, every one of us is writing a book. So here's the question. Do we like the book we're writing? Do we like the book we're writing? Every honest book, every good book has some good chapters and it has some not good chapters, right? I just finished a book. I'm in the middle of reading another one about Ulysses S. Grant. And some of the chapters are I just want to read them over and over. And then there's a couple chapters I went, oh, Ulysses, you didn't do that, did you? But it gives the good, the bad, and the ugly. And all of us have that in our book. Come on. All of us have the good, the bad, and the ugly in the book, right? But you know what Jesus specializes in? He specializes in taking his blood to your book and wiping out all the bad. Esponges the bad. That's the sin that he takes away by dying on the cross when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Amen? And it makes for a much more exciting book when Jesus is at the center of that. So let's bow our heads together. And I just want to ask this question. Do you know the Lord today? Do you know the Savior? On this resurrection day, there would be no greater thing I feel to do than to say, yes, Pastor, I believe. I know there's some doubt there maybe, but I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he loves me and that he died for me. And I need a Savior. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, I'm not sure I'm ready today, but I am looking further into this. Because if he's real, I want to follow him. And so I want to pray for you. So if you're here today, if you just slip up a hand real quick and say, pray for me, Pastor, because I need the Lord as my Savior, or I'm looking into it, and I just need you to pray for me. Just slip your hand up wherever you are around the audience. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Maybe there's someone that's not comfortable lifting a hand, but you can just say in your heart of hearts, that's me too. That's me too. All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for everyone that's here today. I thank you for those who have lifted their hands or in some way acknowledged that they are considering Jesus, or they want to accept you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, for those who want to accept you this morning, just a simple prayer, prayed in the privacy of their heart. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you rose again from the dead. I've seen the evidence, and I'm convinced that you're real. And so I give my life to you in Jesus' name. For those who are considering it, Lord, keep showing them the evidence so that they too can make a decision to follow Jesus. For all the rest of us who have made that decision, just reinforce the evidence to us, Lord, And when doubt does come in, help us to tell doubt where to go and stand in faith, believing Jesus Christ is alive and he's real today. So I thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength, for being the way maker where there seems to be no way. And Lord, on this resurrection day, we just reaffirm our faith in the risen Savior. And thank you for the eyewitnesses in the Bible. And Lord, eyewitnesses that are here right now, people that know for sure that Jesus is alive, and help us to live for you every single day. And Lord, we love you, and I pray everyone enjoy this beautiful, beautiful day that you've given us in whatever plans are being made. And I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you join me in thanking the Lord for his word today? Amen. Amen.